Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Anne-Marie Sabbath, author of Business Etiquette, 101 Ways to Conduct Business with Charm and Savvy. On behalf of the entire Strategy Driven team, I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Anne-Marie Sabbath, author of Business Etiquette, 101 Ways to Conduct Business with Charm and Savvy. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Anne-Marie Sabbath, president of At Ease, shares with us her insights on the often unwritten and unspoken rules of behavior for the business world. Following these rules is what differentiates business professionals from business people, setting them apart and helping them climb the corporate ladder. And so now, without any further delays, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Anne-Marie Sabbath, author of Business Etiquette, 101 Ways to Conduct Business with Charm and Savvy, and president of At Ease, a nationally recognized protocol and etiquette firm. Anne-Marie has trained more than 90,000 individuals at companies such as Fidelity Investments, Monster.com, Deloitte & Touche, and Marriott International. The first and second editions of Business Etiquette have been recognized by The Oprah Winfrey Show, The New York Times, and Entrepreneur Magazine. Anne-Marie, welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
My pleasure, Nathan. Thank you for having me on Strategy Driven.
Well, I am thrilled that you could join us today. I went to the Naval Academy, and sometimes we called it fork and knife school, and I had thought that I was fairly savvy myself when it came to business etiquette, but I have to admit, I learned about a whole lot of things that I can improve on now having read your book. So our audience is in for a real treat, and I think everyone is going to get a lot of value out of our discussion today.
Well, thank you. Most of us, myself included, don't know what we don't know. So I'm looking forward to being able to learn from you and also share a few tips with your listeners.
Well, thank you. And to start out, I mentioned I kind of went to a fork and knife school. But I would say that most people that I work with, and I work in the professional services industry, we feel that we treat those, whether they're clients or they're the other professionals we work with respect and tact and politeness. But as you talked about conducting business with charm and savvy in business etiquette, it seemed to me that business professionalism goes well beyond just those three things. So I was wondering if we could just start our conversation, if you would explain to the audience why it's important to go beyond being respectful, tactful, and polite to being a true business professional rather than just being a business person.
Well, thank you. And you're right. There is a difference between being a business person and a business professional. A business person follows the golden rule, Nathan. Do unto others as you would want others to do unto you. Whereas the platinum rule is followed by business professionals. Do unto others as they would want you to do unto them.
Okay. And I know that's becoming even more important in our more diverse workforce that we have today. I know I see that every day. Anne-Marie, has diversity in our workplace changed the rules of business etiquette over time?
Without question. Our workplace is diverse in many ways. First of all, men and women are colleagues, are equals.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we do business with intergenerations. So someone your child's age could certainly be your manager. Thirdly, we are doing business abroad, and Nathan, I didn't say with abroad. We're doing business with people all over the world, and the question is, when is it important to begin with a greeting before launching into conversation? When is it appropriate to simply make small talk, perhaps during the entire meeting without even getting down to business? When is it appropriate to use your right hand when eating rather than your left hand, even if you are left-handed? So diversity is here, and we're at the beginning of it.
You know, I can see that there's going to be a lot of situations that I could potentially be in that I'm just unfamiliar with how I should act. The one you mentioned, the example with using your right hand instead of your left. Now, fortunately, I guess for me, I am right-handed, but I had never heard of situations like that before. In the opening of your book, Business Etiquette, you talk about one rule above all others, that if you're not sure of how to behave in a given situation, you should just simply follow this rule as the default. Could you tell us what that rule is and then why it's universally applicable?
Well, when you don't know what to do and there's someone else around, delegate. That's number one. Number two, when there is no one else around, the appropriate way to handle the situation, Nathan, is to answer a question with a question. So those are two of my strategies, and we've all been there and will continue to be unfamiliar or feel awkward and not know how to handle a situation.
Now, as I went through business etiquette, there was, I'll call it a theme or a challenge to me anyway. And there seemed to be, in this respect, a kind of tug of war between business etiquette and efficiency. And one of the rules in particular comes from your five email commandments. And you mention as one of the commandments that you should respond to email messages promptly. This, again, struck me as being one of those conflicts with efficiency, because so many efficiency experts say, well, answer your email first thing in the morning and then midday and don't look at it again. If they're being lenient on you, they might let you answer it at the end of the day. In this particular case, I was wondering how you would resolve the email conflict. But in general, do you have any rules for how do you treat situations that come up where you have to decide between etiquette and efficiency?
Well, my recommendation regarding the difference between etiquette and efficiency is, once again, going back to the Platinum Rule. When you receive an email, what is it that the person, that the sender would appreciate versus what is comfortable for you with your schedule? And there is a happy medium. Successful people are not available 24/7. So what that means is focus on the situation at hand, and promptly, responding to email promptly means as soon as possible. Sometimes you can respond within a few minutes because you happen to be in a situation where there is nothing pressing. Other times it may be more appropriate to respond within a few hour period because you happen to be in a meeting facing someone, and it would be very inappropriate to respond to the sender and ignore the person in front of you.
I know that I'm personally guilty of doing the BlackBerry thing under the table in a meeting.
Well, that is a faux pas. Don't ever be in a meeting with me, Nathan, I will tell you. What I do, and believe me, I'm addicted to my BlackBerry. In fact, I won't even tell you there about the studies on BlackBerry. People love their BlackBerries as much as they like anything, I can only say. Just imagine. People love their BlackBerries. However, a successful professional shuts his or her BlackBerry off. It's not even on vibrate before they walk into a meeting. And they focus on the situation at hand rather than peeking at the BlackBerry when something is vibrating. It's unacceptable. And so the key is focusing. There is the art of focusing and clustering what you do, and that's where the efficiency experts are absolutely correct. So etiquette means what to do and when, what is appropriate.
Okay. I can never get over, well, not just those of us like me who put it on vibrate and then type under the table, but I still deal with so many people that have it on active ring during
meetings. Without question, it's truly noise pollution. Anything that is a sound, even vibrate, because I don't know about you, I can hear. I had my BlackBerry in my purse on vibrate, and I was so embarrassed because it kept making this noise, and it was hard for me not to own it when there was no one else around me.
Since we're on the topic of BlackBerries, I've got another question related to those because I see it all the time. I'm on an airplane, and we're doing the half an hour before boarding, and since I travel a lot, I tend to get to board first. And inevitably, I'm guilty of it too. You'll be there. You'll have that half hour. You'll want to squeeze in that one last call, attend that one last conference call. Is there etiquette around when you should and should not use phones in crowded spaces like airplanes?
Yes. Anytime you and I are within an arm's length distance of someone, we should not use our phones. Now, when you are seated on a plane, and let's say you would like to return a call or wrap up a call, and there is someone sitting next to you, my recommendation is that you say, excuse me. So you might be on the phone, you say, excuse me. Because the key is, it is that person's air, that person's space too. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. That's a great recommendation.
Wouldn't you be impressed if someone said that to you?
Oh, I'd be greatly impressed. Unfortunately, it seems like, especially if you're walking through business class, it's like half of everybody's on their phone chatting away.
Well, you're right. And guess what? They're missing the networking opportunity with the person who is within an arm's length distance of them. So there is a time to do it. BlackBerry, cell phones have gotten, texting has gotten out of control. And what happens is it's so easy to be successful today by focusing on the person around you and paying attention to him or her and the BlackBerry or and the texting or email messages that are waiting for you in that order. So people first and then email.
In that same line of thinking, Anne-Marie, do you have a preference of texting versus phone calls?
Well, the key is we go back to the platinum rule. A business professional asks people, how do you prefer that I stay in touch with you? Would you prefer me to email you, text you, call you? What works best with your schedule? So each form of communication is indeed fine. It's more asking rather than doing what you or I are comfortable with. And studies have shown that approximately 75% of people are visual. So when in doubt, it would be, in my opinion, more appropriate to email someone rather than texting and ask, would like to discuss ABC with you. Would you prefer that I send you an email, or would you prefer to discuss it on the phone? Or here's the information. If you would like to respond via email, that's terrific. If you would prefer to schedule a conference or whatever, a conference call or a telephone call, let me know what works. So the idea is always ask other people what works. And that by itself will allow people to be true professionals rather than business people.
Oh, that's fascinating. You know, I wasn't thinking about people being visual. That has been my personal experience because my default was always to pick up the phone. But that's interesting.
Yeah, you understand. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the key is approximately, 10% of people are auditory from a neurolinguistic standpoint. And for that reason, while it's fine to pick up the phone, everyone is not auditory.
Okay.
So a lot of times people prefer to see it, to mull over information, et cetera, and then go from there. So this is why it is much more appropriate to ask someone, how do you prefer? Now, regarding texting, people get livid when others text them. One, when they haven't asked for it. And the main reason is oftentimes people do not have the texting service as part of their telephone package. So it's always appropriate to ask.
Okay.
I actually am mildly annoyed when people text me. And so unless the person is a dear friend and, again, I'm strictly accommodating him or her, I will respond to the person. However, I will not initiate texting. So the key is what works the best for others.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I had not even thought of that. I know on my teenage daughter's cell phone, I have the unlimited texting option. But on mine, I pay like 5 or 10 cents per text.
Exactly. So. And I do the same thing. Well, it's not terrible. Texting can sometimes be seen as a constant conversation rather than gathering thoughts and putting it in an email message. So, again, it goes back to what are other people comfortable with? And I know I've said that several times. However, that really is the mantra of business etiquette.
Okay. Now, Anne-Marie, I want to change the topic just a little bit. There was one rule that you had amongst all 101 rules that I really particularly liked, and it was rule number 71. And the rule says, know what to do when you're going to be late. I can tell you I've coached people on this for years. Again, going to the Naval Academy, I was considered late if I was anything less than 3 minutes early. So that was maybe a little too military kind of perspective. But I was wondering if you could tell us, one, an elaboration about the rule. And then, having done that, do you see it as applying to other situations other than just meetings?
Definitely. Any time, capital A, any time you're in a situation where you are to be somewhere at a given time, the rule should be this. When you're early, you're on time. When you're on time, you're late. When you're late, you're out of luck. And when you're 5 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. So, of course, in many cases, you're not going to arrive at an in-house meeting, an in-house conference room 15 minutes ahead of time. Your manager's going to wonder if you don't have enough to do. However, when you are at an outside meeting, at a client meeting, you should always arrive 15 minutes early. And the reason is it's a terrific way to be able to visit with people at the meeting before getting down to business. I'll give you a perfect example, if I may, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with a particular organization, actually in Atlanta years ago, and the woman who was the CFO, Chief Financial Officer, was on several boards of directors and several boards. And she was fairly shy, so she would show up for a meeting about 5 minutes before the meeting was scheduled to start. And they would have refreshments, let's say at 2:30 with the meeting scheduled at 3 p.m. Well, after a few meetings, the president of this organization received a phone call from a board member of a particular organization and said, we love having Susan on our board. However, people want to be able to visit with her. They want to network with her. And we're not getting that opportunity. And so the point that I'm making is to show up for a meeting 5 minutes early is unacceptable. To leave immediately after a meeting is perfectly acceptable rather than lingering. However, showing up for meetings, outside meetings, a minimum of 15 minutes early does wonders for the power of networking, for being able to, for it's strictly the appropriate thing to do. And there is never, never a time where being late because of traffic is acceptable. Always map it out. Always assume there's a traffic jam so that you can get places early.
Absolutely. I tell people not only should they plan for traffic jams, they should be aware of alternate routes. And then let's just say you are in a situation where you're going to be late. Whether it was one's poor planning or not, you're going to be late. Is there something that the person ought to do if they're just cannot be on time?
Well, get ready to look for another job. That's number one.
Okay.
Of course, what I am saying is some people make mental notes about being late. And believe me, I ran late for 35 years, so I was the queen of late for many years. And maybe that's why I'm so adamant about being early. When you know you're going to run late, even though it's very annoying to the other person, call ahead and simply say, I must tell you, I have XYZ that's unexpected, and I will be 20 minutes late. Now, that means you're only 10 minutes late. That means you still show up 10 minutes early, earlier than you said, because it's an insult. It's a form of rejection. It's saying you're not important. It's saying you're not a priority for me when you are late. Now, at the same time, if I may say, since I'm sure some of your listeners, viewers are going to be doing business abroad, when you're interacting with several cultures, recognize that being late should not be considered an insult in your eyes. For instance, I have a friend from Colombia, and Marta is on Pacific Standard Time living on the East Coast. So if I invited her and her family over for a 6 p.m. Sunday dinner, oftentimes they would not show up until 7:30 p.m. Well, that was considered totally annoying and unacceptable. The reason for that, even though it's not acceptable in our eyes, is it, whatever they were doing, let's say if they were visiting with other family members before coming to my house, that would have been considered more appropriate than actually being on time, because people are considered much more important than the clock. So recognize in other cultures that time is fluid. Time is like space.
Okay. I hadn't thought of that before. But your point about calling ahead if you're going to be late, I see that as being also universally applicable, not just to meetings or to appointments, but if you're going to be late for, say, a task on a project, that you should call well in advance if you know you're going to be late, almost as really as soon as you know you're going to be late, that you should notify.
Here's what I would say. Yes, when you know that you're not going to have a project completed by a given date, by the request of the date, let's say it's because you're waiting for someone else. Let's say you have your part finished. What I would do is I would go ahead and I'd email the person rather than call, because, again, I go back to approximately 75% of people in the world are visual from a neurolinguistic standpoint. But what I would say is I would email you and I'd say, Nathan, or I'd call you if you prefer me calling you, and I'd say, I'd like to give you the update about the XYZ project that we talked about being in your hands by July 1st. What I can guarantee you will have, based on everyone else's schedule, based on what I will have to you by July 1st, is 75% of the project. So I will tell you what I can do rather than what I cannot do. That allows people to see that you are moving forward.
Ah, okay.
That would be my recommendation. And by doing that, the person knows you're working on it.
Okay. Now, Anne-Marie, staying with the meeting setting, I find that I'm often engaged in conversations, whether they're in a business setting or socially, that get very technical in nature. And a lot of people in that particular area of business are very comfortable using both acronyms and technical terms associated with that particular topic that I might not be aware of. Or maybe there's somebody else that's with me and I know they're not aware of those terms. Is there a way to go about asking somebody to explain what an acronym or a technical term means that is not disruptive to the conversation and at the same time does not make the person asking appear to be uninformed or uninterested in the topic?
Certainly. First of all, you're absolutely right. The way to manage acronyms, and I'm going to back up and say, when you are the speaker and you're dealing with a technical term or acronym, never assume that everyone knows what that technical term or acronym means.
Okay.
So by doing that, you might have you might say, we're going to be talking about ABC, IBM, International Business Machines. And you only need to say this one time, or a technical term, which once again is ABC. Now, if the person who is speaking has not done that, you certainly may, and you have been listening, you may say, I could say to you, Nathan, and I would echo what you said. Your mm-hmm. question about ABC or your information about ABC is most informative. So I'm echoing what you said. Before we continue, may I ask you to refresh my memory about what ABC stands for?
Okay.
Or to redefine XYZ, technical term. By doing that, that is helping. You're being tactful. You're echoing what the person said. You're asking that rather than saying, don't assume we all know this.
If you're with somebody, and I often find I'm in a group setting, and this person could be maybe my boss or my boss's boss that doesn't deal with these things on a day-to-day basis, or it could be a junior staff member that just hasn't learned about it, or in a social setting, it could be a spouse, a friend, a relative that is, say, not in the business. Should you, as a conversation participant, ask on their behalf to try to keep them comfortable with the conversation?
Certainly, yes. Okay, when you are another party and you know someone else not be familiar with the acronym, it is most appropriate to go ahead and to simply ask a question to say, regarding ABC, Apple, Ball, Charlie,
yeah,
and go from there. So, yes, you may do that, and it's a tactful way of helping both the speaker and the person who could easily be unfamiliar with the situation to be on the same plane.
Okay. Well, Anne-Marie, before we close our interview, you do have a website, and it's www.annemariesabbath.com that has a number of additional resources on both the written and unwritten rules of etiquette. Could you tell us a little bit about your website and the resources our listeners can find there?
Thank you. Well, I do have 8 books on both domestic and international business etiquette, mm-hmm. and the books are a terrific way to be able to bone up on what is appropriate both domestically and internationally. We also do a lot of corporate training, which is what I explained on the website, which is my name again, AnneMarieSabbath.com or CorporateEtiquette.com. And so a lot of times for quarterly meetings, annual meetings, et cetera, people who want to enhance their networking, client relationship skills, people do look at that. And so that is explained on our website. And then finally, we do have training material for individuals, human resource training directors who prefer to be able to share this information at their meetings and would like to deliver the information themselves. So that is exactly what our website's about.
That's great. And I will make sure that there's a link to both the CorporateEtiquette.com and the AnneMarieSabbath.com websites in the article that accompanies our podcast, so our listeners with one simple click can get right to your websites.
Thank you. I'd be flattered.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, Anne-Marie, I want to thank you not only for sharing your time this afternoon, but more importantly for sharing your insights on how an individual can differentiate his or herself by adhering to the rules of business etiquette. I thoroughly enjoyed your book, Business Etiquette, myself, and as I mentioned before, I have discovered just numerous opportunities that I have personally to improve on my business behaviors to try to differentiate myself as a business professional rather than a business person. So I hope our listeners will pick up a copy of your book, and more importantly, that they'll apply the rules of business etiquette that you present so to help them differentiate themselves from their competitors within the workplace. So thank you again for joining us.
My pleasure, Nathan.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Anne-Marie Sabbath for being with us today and sharing her insights on conducting business with charm and savvy. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Anne-Marie Sabbath and business etiquette at www.annemariesabbath.com. Until next time, so long.